Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Everybody, welcome to Spooky Kathy. I'm your host, Catherine Wilson, and tonight I'm really excited to say that Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International and Ghost Hunters is going to be here tonight and talk with us. And he has just written a book recently here called In the Mist of Gods, and it has to do with the metamorphosis of legends into alien phenomena. So I'm really interested in hearing about that. So let me see if he's here yet. Barry?
Catherine, how are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good to hear that. Thank you so much for coming on Spooky Kathy tonight.
You're very welcome, anytime.
I really appreciate it. So I was looking at your website. Is that your personal website, The Charm Stealers, or is that like a book-type website?
It covers a lot of things. I'm particularly proud to be Irish. So, for people that are coming to Ireland and maybe want to stay in a haunted castle or something, there's suggestions there, the website as well, of where people can book into to have one of those haunting experiences while in Ireland. A lot of the places, of course, can be very commercialized, but the places that are mentioned there are pretty good and have been checked out by myself. So, there's a lot of suggestions there for people coming back and forward to Ireland, where they can stay and hire a car, hire and everything else. Of course, they can buy the books through the site and some T-shirts if they want as well.
Oh, cool. You know, that is like my ultimate ghost hunt, to get over to the UK and go ghost hunting over there. I've done lots of research in the last 3 years on my family genealogy. And
yes.
I actually know now where some of my ancestors lived and castles that they lived in, and that would just be the ultimate for me, I think.
Can you remember offhand whereabouts they were?
No, I'd have to like pull out the GenCom and look at everything.
All right, okay.
I did find out that I went back to Eleanor of Aquitaine, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, grand stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, so the book, do you talk about, can you explain a little bit of that to me, how the legends of the Irish folklore relate to the aliens?
Yeah, it seems that, you know, of course, whenever we say aliens, we think of little green men coming from Mars. That isn't the case with this particular book. I was cast into the middle of this phenomenon, whether I wanted to or not. It seemed that someone else had other plans. You know, I often joke about destiny. And I say that really, people say, are you following your destiny? And I say, well, to be honest, I'm a backseat passenger in the car of destiny being driven by someone else. And that was very much apparent with this book, In the Mist of Gods. The book itself examines, primarily from an Irish standpoint, before looking at further afield, about how these old deities, they interacted with man at that particular time, and how that metamorphosis into other areas has carried through, and it's been very, very interesting to see, you know, and I'm aware of other people who have made this connection as well, that for instance, just taking one sample, we all hear tell of the Irish fairy and everything else, and
right.
You know, we all have a bit of a snigger about the Irish fairy, but to be honest, the whole idea of fairy has become, I suppose, manipulated, and no more so than the Victorian era, whenever they had tried to metamorphosis, change the whole idealism of what fairy was, because they weren't, and even in Ireland today, we're very aware they're not Tinkerbell. They're not these little tiny things that fly around with wings and everything else. They were something that ancient man had processes in place to interact to a certain amount with these particular entities, but not to interfere with them directly. You know, they were over there, we were here, and that's the way it was left, because these things were not good. They were in parts they were menacing. And certainly no Tinkerbell. With the whole Victorian revivalism, we see that bastardization happen. You know, fairy itself is, like I said, is a bastardization of a term, because it actually means fairy, which is a strange state of trance. Now, bear in mind, the metamorphosis into the modern alien, we find that the same thing that the aliens...
Hello? Barry, are you there? I've lost your sound, Barry, if you can still hear me. If you can maybe call back, hang up and call back. We'll try to get you back on here. Completely lost you. You're listening to Catherine Wilson on Spooky Kathy. We're waiting for Barry to call back. I think he's calling from Ireland tonight, and perhaps the sound is, you know, perhaps there's some technical difficulties. I know there's also some solar flares we're dealing with at the present. In the meantime, I can tell you about some events that are happening the coming 2013 here. Should we all be able to go, there's some really cool events. One is let me see what I got here. Phenomenology 105 in Gettysburg, March 24th. Our 21st through the 24th, 2013. John Zaffis is going to be there from Haunted Collector with Chris and Amy, his kids that are also on the show, and Brian Kano. And then I also see that Chip Coffee will be there, Barry Conrad, Patrick Burns and Marley Gibson, Chris Fleming, Stacey Jones, Karen Rontowski, the fabulous comedian, Dave Schrader, and Tim Dennis. Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio. I think I have Barry back on. Let's see. Hey, Barry?
I'm here. It seems that someone didn't want me to talk about this.
I think they want you to keep your secret.
Well, continuing where I left off, the whole thing about these things coming from underground, of course, took me to the United States. And this year, 2012, I found myself in Arizona, and I was photographing phenomenon, which mm-hmm. I cannot explain, coming from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what a lot of people would report being Phoenix lights and things similar,
mm-hmm.
we're able to track down the same things are happening also in India, and other places around the world. Now the photographs that I got were phenomenal. I've never seen anything quite like.
What did it look like? What did it look like?
It's exceptionally bizarre. You know these things. What was that? Strange. So, I just thought I heard something there at the side of the window. these huge balls of light were just jumping from the ground
mm-hmm.
and exploding into light in the dark sky. Now, there was a lot of bizarre things were happening that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had friends there that were with me, and we were mesmerized. Each one of us were mesmerized by what we were witnessing. Now, fortunately enough, I had a camera there. I was taking shots as it was happening in front of me. But there was also strange noises coming from the power lines that were running overhead, running in the direction of where these lights were appearing. Now, I never travel too far without some equipment with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also took some sound recordings of the noises that were coming through the high output power lines. And it was so bizarre. I've never heard anything like it. I've sent some of the recordings away and it's come back to these specialists that work with pylons and things. And they have no idea. They've never heard of it before, and I honestly don't know what on earth it was. Now, these lights were appearing in part of a reservation. Now, whenever I look at the satellite imagery, I can see there is only one road into this place to
mm-hmm.
a very bizarre place right in the middle that I find, you know, I've scratched my head about it and said to myself, how can I get in there? But I might have to do some more begging and pleading to get into the reservation, to get to that place, because I know where this was happening. The photographs quite blatantly show this, and with the satellite imagery, we're able to pinpoint it. And it would be very interesting to go back to and get onto that reservation, if I could get permission.
Sounds really cool. Was that the Navajo reservation in the northeast corner of Arizona?
No, it wasn't, no. It was another reservation. I'm trying to remember the name now because I can't remember names. It goes in one ear and out the other. Facts
mm-hmm.
I remember, details, names I can't. But I can't remember the name of the reservation as to where that was appearing, where those lights were appearing. And then to find that the same things were also appearing in India as well, of course, has also kept my interest
mm-hmm.
because India was also a place I wanted to go to, that and Tibet, and to find out that these things were appearing on the Tibetan-Indian border was inspiring to get me out there.
Sounds interesting. So back to the fairies. I do know a little bit about Irish folklore, very little, but I do know about please correct me if I'm saying this wrong. The Tuatha De Danann?
The Tuatha De Danann.
Tuatha De Danann? Is that how you say it?
Tuatha De Danann. Yeah, Tuatha De Danann.
Danann. And they were thought to be like half human, half fairy?
Some legends state that they came from the west, an island on the west, and some, of course, from the east. Now, we have islands on both sides of Ireland. And whenever they came to Ireland, there was a human species that came up from the Spanish Portuguese area of Europe, and the two collided, and there was a great battle. In fact, not far from where I am now, there was said to be one of the big battles. From what I can gather, there was a situation developed in that man, as we know them now, found a way on how to kill them. And of course, this had huge ramifications. Suddenly, the tables changed, the agreement was made from an Irish standpoint that we could have everything above ground, and they would have everything below ground, and that agreement was left. Whenever you go back and look at the facts and stuff and the details and everything else, you can see that that agreement, if you were to believe it, wasn't really adhered too well. It's just surprising just what has been going on globally. In fact, a lot of it not being reported in mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
to give you some examples, such as the strange disappearances of people that do warrant more investigation, but it hasn't come across yet, and so plans are afoot. That's all I'll say about that particular matter. The investigations continue, and in fact, I find myself at the moment very close to some of those entrances to the underworld, and certainly going to be exploiting those on my adventures, and see what I come up with. I am starting another book, which I'm looking forward to, which deals primarily as well with some of that fairy lore from an Irish standpoint, and exploring the banshee. That's going to be an interesting book to get involved with.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. So now, do you think that the Tuatha De Dananna were like had alien roots? Like they came from another planet?
I don't. I'm not a supporter of let's say interference from an outside source.
Okay.
I'm not a great supporter of that idea. I know of some shows that have touched on it, and in fact made quite huge claims to support the alien interference on a historical aspect. But whenever we put those claims to the spotlight, of course we find that it falls away.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you grew up in Ireland, was there a time when you ever thought you had seen a fairy?
you don't have to go too far before you find someone who's had some interaction with something.
Uh-huh.
I talk about that in the book, In the Mist of Gods. I interview some people who have had interaction with these particular things for the good and sometimes more so for the bad, but there is one tale in the book, it's called Saving Grace, which really tugged on my heartstrings, because it really was a reflection on human nature about how vicious and vindictive we are against each other, never mind something else of a different species altogether, and just how inappropriate we are to each other, and that story really struck home.
Oh, sounds good. I'm going to order your book. The reason why I'm so curious about it is because I'm a medium, and when I was really young, like two to four, or maybe even one and a half or so, I had an imaginary friend, like so many people say that they have had, and then a lot of people think that those are their guides. And
yes.
Mine basically looked like a little tiny leprechaun. And at the time, I didn't know what a leprechaun was, but that he sure looked like one, you know. He was like maybe 12 inches high, and, you know, had on like these thick brown boots and leggings and tailcoat. And I was constantly worried about somebody sitting on him or stepping on him or, you know, that kind of thing. And then at some point I quit seeing him, but what's interesting is I still feel that he's my guide, and that I have been pregnant 4 times, and 2 times I lost the baby, and 2 times I gave birth, and the 2 times that I actually had the baby, I saw him. And it was just a couple of seconds. He peeked around the corner at me in my house. And he had grown as much as I had grown. So he was still, like, hip-high to me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was hip-high to me when I was 2, so to speak. So I just wonder, if there's some of them that are, more friendly, that, do help people. And I do have some Irish roots, so
There are stories of particular entities which do help around the house. There was always a certain amount of payment was required for their services. And if the payment was not met, well, then of course it got nasty. It got painful. From our standpoint, there have been stories about, if you do cross them, it can be bad. In fact, it can be life threatening. There are many
stories. I've heard those stories, but he seems to be, completely, helpful.
You're one of the fortunate ones. But strangely enough, what you described, I've had other descriptions within the U.S. of similar types, and so it's not actually uncommon.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I don't know, really who he is, but it's very interesting to me. So how did the aliens relate in your book then? If I seem to not be understanding.
Well, you see, the aliens, the fairies, the whole lot. This to me, I was able to see, was just a simple charade. It was just a mask that was applied to something which was much more ancient than that. So it's how we were led to be perceived, how they were perceived to be, and that was the big thing. That was where the big hoorah come from, to figure out as well that there were certain components which they backed off from, certain elements that they backed off from, was interesting to note, because we were also able to see that migrate across into areas of the paranormal as well, such as the areas of night attacks and things like that, that we were able to see certain components that they were known as being hateful toward. We are also seeing the same things when applied to the night attacks was having the same effect. And then we started saying, well, hold on a second, what if this is the same thing again? And started applying some of the knowledge back toward night attacks to find out we were finding the same thing. And so again, you know, when we start stripping a lot of the stuff back and going back into ancient history, that we start to find our answers. But there's a lot of misinformation which is a problem as well that we need to try and work through. That in itself is a big problem. And of course, as well, you know, we also, from a paranormal standpoint, we find the shameful use of the word demon being used at every shadow being seen.
True.
Which is having a bad effect as well on the field.
Well, there has to be some basis of truth to the fairy, the possibility that they do exist. It seems to me like every culture has some sort of creature such as a fairy, like the Hawaiians have the Menahuni, and the Native Americans have like Pukwudgie, and so on. So there must be something to it. Like, is that what you mean? There's some connection with all the different cultures.
There is something to it. Globally, there's always something to it. It's just stripping back the mask. You know, the name that you have given it there, from Hawaii down into the Native Americans, across into the guys down in New Zealand, even the Zulu in South Africa. You know, they've all got names for these things. But if you strip the name away, strip that mask away, you'll find that there's certain elements of commonality that run through them all. That's what you need to track them by, not by name, but by phenomenon.
Yes, by how they act, what they look like, that type of thing.
Not by what they look like, because what they look like is just a facade. That's the mask. You need to track it by phenomenon, not by looks.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Well, I need to take a quick break. You're listening to Barry Fitzgerald on Spooky Kathy on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Welcome back to Spooky Kathy. I'm your host, Catherine Wilson, and I'm here with Barry Fitzgerald. Thanks again so much for coming in tonight to talk.
You're welcome.
So, you know, another thing I wanted to ask you about, and I don't know if you're going to remember this. I know you have done so many events, but hopefully it'll stick out in your mind. There was an event, I think it was about 4 years ago, in Central California, in Oakhurst, and there was I was there, you were there, Tom Durant was there, who I work with, I'm on his team, and there was this situation where we wanted to kind of help a spirit on, and you had brought this device from the 1980s. I don't remember the name of it, but it was some kind of sound thing that kind of was going whoosh, whoosh. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do indeed, yes.
Okay, what was that called?
That's a device which was built on the back of Spiricom. And Spiricom was a device which was devised back in the 1980s to allow two-way communication with spirit. Now, the problem that they found with Spiricom is that the frequencies kept raising. So every time the frequencies rose, they had to devise a new machine. It got to a point where the frequencies just rose too high, where they just couldn't keep up and the communication was lost. But the sounds that were being generated there were really, really interesting, because we were able to see how that would stimulate the environment. And also, in fact, just recently, I was privy to some sounds that were recorded, and from your side of the world, you probably remember it as the Bloop. And it was recorded in the Pacific Ocean, 1,000 miles off the coast of Chile. Now, this was loud enough to be recorded over 5,000 kilometers. But whenever I heard the frequency, it was the same frequencies, the same modulation of frequencies that we were using in Spiricom. And I can't explain that. I don't know how those noises...
And there was no explanation where these noises were coming from in the ocean in Chile?
There is some speculation that it was an earthquake off in the Antarctic, and it was the ice shells that were dropping off.
Oh.
I'm not quite sure. I just leave it at that as being an odd curiosity, and move off, because you know yourself, sometimes official... explanations are not all missing.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to that event. Like some pretty crazy things happened that night. Somebody ended up getting hit from an unseen force, and some wild stuff. But I had been there before, like 8 months before that, and there was a lot of spirit activity upstairs that I could sense. A lot of residual stuff, a lot of day-to-day type human activity. And when I went back, when it was the time you were there, that seemed like it was all gone completely. It felt like being in a new home under construction, so to speak. And when we were doing the actual investigation with that spirit going, I saw this like 7 foot tall black thing walk into the room, and I was looking at that thinking, oh, that's not good. You actually came around the corner and walked right up to it and looked at it up and down, like you saw the same thing I did. I don't know if you remember, it's been a really long time ago, but I never did ask you if you saw that too.
And the moment that I walked through the door, I was approached by that particular thing, but there was no communication from it. It wouldn't give me what it wanted or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like a Rottweiler guarding a junkyard. He came up to me and dented his teeth, and that was it. So I proceeded on as planned. So it was an interesting evening.
It was. It's now known as the Moose Lava Incident. Because we weren't quite sure that there were some Native American folks there singing a Native American song, and it sounded something like Don Donna Hey Hey Moose Lava. So that's our what we've dubbed it after all these years.
But
I was curious, because I was sitting there across the room looking at it going, oh, that's not good, because when I see those things, they're never good. And then you walked around the corner and stood right in front of it and looked it right up and down, and I was like, oh my gosh, he can see it, you know. So that was pretty cool.
Great.
What did you make of that whole thing? When you thought about that, what is your take on that? What was going on at that location?
I'm trying to remember specific details of the case itself. I can't remember the history of the place.
Well, it was allegedly there was a man who had killed a woman. It was like a lodge, and it was a restaurant and bar, and it had been a house of prostitution at one point. And the story was that there was a man that had killed a woman and was like kind of keeping her soul captive there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that had anything to do with myself. I don't think that had anything to do with it, that man or that woman or anything.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that it ended up very, very strange. I remember the guy that got sucker punched across the floor into the bar stool. And in fact, I did get a photograph as well during the Native American ceremony in the police Beckham camera, which was really, really weird. Of a figure which was appearing above the circle as they were calling out, there was other things. I know that there were other people there as well who were sensitive, we were chatting among ourselves as well during the event. I wouldn't actually mind going back there again at this stage. Now I'm back in California in March. For some lectures in Portable. I'm going to be there, I believe, the 14th until I think the 21st. So I'll be celebrating St. Patrick's Day in America this year. And then my birthday the next day. So there will be 2 days that I won't be able to remember. There'll be a couple of lectures being set up there as well. So I'm looking forward to that because there's phenomenal things which we now know and understand, which I'll be sharing in the US. The do's and don'ts and what happens biologically to the body whenever we start interacting with these things and how they start manipulating our own biology against us. So all those things will be talked about, precautions and everything else.
It's
in depth, it's exceptionally interesting. It has been a fantastic trip for me doing the lectures around Ireland and into England, finally to start getting them across into the US.
So now, is there a website that people can go to get a ticket for that event?
Yeah, I believe that the Portable Ghost Society, they will be dealing with all of that. I'm also doing an appearance at Allensworth State Park, just outside, I think it's Bakersfield. That'll all be listed, both on their website, and I'll be putting it up on Charm Stealer as well, closer to the time.
Okay, I will want to definitely be a part of that. That sounds really interesting. So, can you tell me a little bit about some of the castles that you have investigated, and what are some good ones to go to? Should people want to go to Ireland or anywhere in the UK, what places is a must on our list?
There's a Castle Rising over in Nottingham, I found that to be exceptionally interesting because of what we filmed there. To understand that the lights that were appearing were 10 feet off the ground in the basement was just phenomenal.
What sort of lights?
They were self-illuminating lights. The strange thing was that During the initial interview with the guy that run the place, my interest was taken by a hole in the wall, and I happened to say to the curator, what's the hole in the wall for? Now bear in mind we're in a basement. He said, mm-hmm. There were people here and they started to dig through the wall wanting to get to the main chamber, wanting to get to the main hall. And I thought, well, that's a bit bizarre. That's a bit strange. It seems a bit careless because, you know, if you start knocking out the middle of a castle wall with no support,
mm-hmm. right.
it's just rubble. So the entire thing will come down around your ears. And I thought, well, that's very, very careless. But something didn't seem right about what I was being told.
Uh-huh.
And during the filming, these lights appeared, and one in particular light appeared, again, 10 feet off the floor, and went over to the wall and cast a light onto the wall down over the area where this hole was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, what on earth are they looking for? And what were those other people looking for in that wall?
Right.
So
now, this light, how big, was it like a ball-shaped light?
It was, yes. Uh-huh. Some of them were shaped, were almost cigar-shaped. But they weren't that big. They would have been with the size of a tennis ball.
Okay.
Some of them would have been smaller.
Were they different colors?
For us, we didn't see any different colors because we were using a low-lux full-spectrum camera.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you would tend to see them in different colors, but for us, they were just white. And that in itself would fall onto the DVR system. It wasn't a great DVR system that we had. But we were able to see the lights nonetheless. And I know that the curator was concerned because he felt that he may have been haunted in the castle, but we were able to see that these events were happening whether he was there or not. And so he wasn't affected. But I had a great time with him, and I have a lot of respect for him. So my hat's mm-hmm. off to Castle Rising.
Do you think they were like the spirits of people that had passed, still trying to search for whatever they were searching for?
No, this was something else. This was something else in the outer edges of the spectrum. We have seen these lights before in different places, and there has been a theory put in place that one of the lights itself may have been a collapse of an energy field. And the only place that we ever seen this was in France.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see in laboratory conditions where we see the plasma ignite and slowly go out, was the same effect that we were having on the cameras. Now bear in mind that this was created in a lab at the same temperatures of the surface of the sun. So we know that that definitely was not us who was making these lights appear as the plasma died. But there was one theory that it could be a field collapsing in on itself. We wouldn't see them open, but we would see them close. And as these close, anyone who's standing nearby, although they would be out of our sight, out of our range of sight,
mm-hmm.
we would feel ions rush to solid surfaces. So you would get this type of breeze that would pass. If one closed near your face or your hands or your arms, you would feel this light breeze blow across the hairs of your skin. And of course, for most of us, we would call that spirit breeze. As these feet would close down, the ions would rush to the solid surfaces, passing by our skin and causing a light breeze.
Well, what would have caused an energy collapse, and what was the energy to begin with?
Well, that's the thing. You know, we really don't know. And this is the big mystery. You know, we say we're looking for ghosts. In the great scheme of things, we actually don't know what they are. You know, there's a lot of theories out there and everything else. We have gut instincts that we tend to follow,
mm-hmm.
but all they are, There is no proof of ghosts. There are theories of ghosts. But like everything else, you know, we've got theories, but we just don't know what they are.
But nothing is proven, and we always have to go back to
nothing,
that.
Nothing is proven, yeah. In the paranormal field, nothing is proven.
That's why there's no experts, right?
That is exactly right. Every day we're learning something new, that's for sure.
So what is there any other castles besides Castle Rising in Nottingham that you would recommend that would be, is that a place where people can actually, before we go on to another place, is that actually a place you can contact and ask to investigate there?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay,
you can
cool.
Indeed.
What's another good one?
Now, you're not able to stay in that particular castle because it is pretty much a ruin. The other castle, there's one here in Ireland, which is called Ross Castle on the Meath Cavan border.
What border?
That's on the Meath Cavan border.
Meath Cavan?
Cavan. C-A-V-A-N.
Oh, Cavan. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That one you can stay in, but it's out of the main tourist thoroughfare. And it sits on the shores of Loch Sheelan, which is around 7 miles long, and is surrounded by trees. Now, the staff don't stay, so whenever you arrive, you have the fire lit, and you'll have the candles and things down in the sitting room. But that's pretty much it. You're left to your own devices. I know that there are 9 spirits inside and countless spirits outside. A long, long history dating back from the 14th century. You choose where you want to sleep. I assure you, every room has a story.
What were some of your experiences there?
I was there recently at a Christmas dinner.
How wonderful.
We tend to go down periodically throughout the year. I've been going there for years, but I have found more recently than any other time that the more you ignore it, the more it comes out. The moment you start going looking for it, it backs off. So you have a lot of different things. You've got the crazy lady in the east wing. You've got the whisper room, the scream room. You've got the slasher's room on the top floor. You have the poker room, the slasher. Yeah, he's a character from the castle's history. You also have the poker room, which is a shape shifting fairy, that one caused no end of trouble. You've got quite a lot of things going on there within the castle, it's never been bad. You know, there's always been a lot of people would find it maybe frightening, initially, once that initial fear passes, if they allow it to pass, of course, then things starts to settle down, it really is. It is a fantastic place. It really is.
Oh, sounds great. That would definitely be on my list. I one of these days I'm going to get over there, and it's definitely on my top of my list to go
of course,
and do that.
There's also Lepp Castle down in County Offaly, and that's the place where I was introduced to ghost hunters. There's that castle. Sean Ryan is a friend of mine who owns it and lives in it. A great place. Sean is a fantastic musician. He's found that the music has actually sedated the disturbances within the castle. So those vibrations of music have quietened it down, which has been great, because that has been one of the darker castles of Irish history.
Now, that's the one that was on the ley lines, or the fairy path that created a problem, if I recall correctly.
Oh, no, that's a different one. That's Lachine. Lachine is in County Sligo. But there's another place which has been listed in the books, but has never been found, and that is up, I believe, in County Kerry. And there's a mountain pass up there where I can't remember the name exactly, but it translates into the Pass of Blood Drinking Fairy or something like that. I can't remember it distinctly, but I do have it in my notes somewhere. So it's been noted for a long time within local superstition.
And that location has never been determined, the exact location?
It has been listed, but of course my name or my mind with names exactly, I can't remember, but I would have to have a look at my notes.
Sounds amazing.
And of course, you know, you do have the vampire graves of Ireland. I think there are three which are identified. So there's one in the north and two in the south. It's got all that going on, all those local tales and superstition and legend.
Mhm. So they actually have some vampires in Ireland too. I didn't even know that one.
Oh, well, Europe had a string, of course, of vampires in the 17th century. But from what I can understand from some of the work by some of the doctors up in the north, they arrived on the Irish shores in the 12th century, maybe just a little sooner than that. From a European perspective, you know, we had the 17th century outbreak, I suppose, of vampirism, which rightly or wrongly, of course, a lot of people lost their lives out of that. You had the werewolf phenomenon as well. Over 30,000, I believe, lost their lives in France, being accused of werewolves, and then there was the whole witch phenomenon. And the world went mad with the witches. But thankfully, I have to say that Ireland developed pretty much on its own, because we're the outcast of Europe, sitting out in the ocean. So the Roman Empire never really had the same effect on us. We developed pretty much on our own. I think out of the witch burnings, We tended to turn more of a blind eye toward us, and say, yeah, it's okay, it happens. Some of the ones that are noted within history, of course, were noted because of greed and people wanting other people's houses and cattle and things like that. So the accusation was made.
Right.
But I believe there was only four witch burnings in the entire Irish history. Compared to
the
rest
of the
world.
Well, that's pretty good.
So,
compared to everywhere else.
I think very, very well, yeah.
That's good. That's a good thing. Now, we're just about out of time, and I want to make sure people know the name of your book. It's called In the Mist of Gods, and you can go to www.charmstealers.com.
That's very true, yes. That's it.
Yeah,
and they'll be able to see my schedule and stuff, which is online. They'll be able to see where I'm going, and dates will be uploaded for California and things like that. Oh, and I'm also doing a ghost cruise. I nearly forgot that. Over California. In May, and people can go on.
You're breaking. You're getting real fuzzy and breaking up, and I want people to make sure that they hear this. So can you start again?
I will indeed, yes. If they pop over to Facebook and look up Ghost Hunters Cruise, they will find a cruise which is being organized in May, a 7-day cruise on the Sapphire Princess and we'll be visiting some of California's most haunted places along the shores and up that coast. So I'm looking forward to that. There'll be some lectures on the ship as well. And Mr. Chin, I believe, is also going to be there with me.
Who?
Joe Chin?
Oh,
yes.
Awesome. Do you know what the dates are in May on that?
And the dates, where do we see here? I'll see if I can find the dates. They did tell me the dates, but of course, when in one ear, not the other. No, I can't. I'm having a look at their page, but
okay. Well, they can go to
if
you go to Facebook and go to Ghost Hunters Cruise. There'll be some information on there about that cruise in May with Barry Fitzgerald and Joe Chin, and you'll be visiting some haunted locations and actually doing some investigations.
Yes, we will. Yes, I believe Alcatraz, I believe, has been mentioned. By whether it's happening or not, I don't know. But yes,
okay. Boy, I'm gonna have to look into that. That sounds like a blast.
I've never been on a ship, a cruise before, so I'm looking forward to it.
I haven't either. So sounds fabulous. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much, Barry Fitzgerald, for coming in tonight and speaking with me. It's been really interesting. I hope to see you in March while you're here in California.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope so, too.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Spooky Kathy. I'm your host, Catherine Wilson. And that was Barry Fitzgerald. What an amazing interview that was. So much information, new stuff that I hadn't even heard before. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.LiveParanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now. Join in on the fun.